ナモバクタシェバスデバヤ。Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskrityam.
Narayanam Namaskrityam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Sarasvatiyasam
Tato
Jayamudiraye I will read now the 15th verse from the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is called Karma Yoga, Action and Krishna Consciousness.Na adate kasyachi papam na cha deva sukritam vibhu agyanena abritam jnana tena mukhyanti chandavahaNadate kasya chitpapam Nachaiva sukritam vibhu Agyanena vritam jnana Ena mukhyanti jandavaha Nadate kasya chitpapam Nachaiva sukritam vibhuAgyanena vritam papa Agyanena vritam jnana Ena muhyanti jantavaha Nadate kasya chitpapam Nachaivam sukritam vibhu Agyanena vritam papa jnanaEna mukhyanti jantavaha Na
Never
Adate Accept Kasyachi Anyone Papam Sin Na
Nor
Cha
Also
Eva
Suddenly
Sukritam
Pious activities
Vibhu,
the Supreme Lord,
Agyanena,
by
ignorance,
Avritam,
covered,
Jnana,
knowledge,
Tena,
by that,
Muhyanti,
bewildered,
Chantavaha,
the living entities. Translation.Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of ignorance which covers their real knowledge. Purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Sanskrit word Vibhu means the Supreme Lord who is full of unlimited knowledge, riches, strength,fame, beauty, and renunciation. He is always satisfied in himself, undisturbed by sinful or pious activities. He does not create a particular situation for any living entity, but the living entity, bewildered by ignorance, desires to be put into certain conditions of life, and thereby his chain of action and reaction begins. A living entity is by superior nature,full of knowledge. Nevertheless, he is prone to be influenced by ignorance due to his limited power. The Lord is omnipotent, but the living entity is not. The Lord is Vibhu, or omniscient, but the living entity is Anu, or atonic. Because he is a living soul, he has the capacity to desire by his free will. Such desire is fulfilled only by the omnipotent Lord. And so when the living entity is bewildered in his desires, the Lord allows him to fulfill those desires. But the Lord is never responsible for the action and reactions of a particular situation which may be desired. Being a bewildered condition, being in a bewildered condition, therefore the embodied soul identifies himself with the circumstantial material body and becomes subjected to temporary misery and happiness of life. The Lord is the constant companion of living entity as Paramatman for the super soul, and therefore he can understand the desires of the individual soul as one can smell the flavor of a flower being near it. Desire is a subtle form of conditioning for the living entity. The Lord fulfills his desire as he deserves. Man proposes and God disposes. The individual is not therefore omnipotent in fulfilling his desires. The Lord, however, can fulfill all desires, and the Lord, being neutral to everyone, does not interfere with the desires of the minute independent living entities. However, when one desires Krishna, the Lord takes special care and encourages one to desire in such a way that one can attain him and be eternally happy. The Vedic hymns therefore declare, Esha u kyaeva sadhu karma karayanti tam yam ebhyo lokebhya unini sate. Esha u eva sadhu karma karayati yam adho ninishate. The Lord engages the living entity in pious activities so that he may be elevated. The Lord engages him in impious activities so he may go to hell. Kaushitaki Upanishad. Agyojantu ranishoyam atmana sukha dukhayo ishvara prerito gachet svargam vas abhramaye vacham. The living entity is completely dependent in his distress and happiness by the will of the Supreme Lord. He can go to heaven or hell as a cloud is driven by the air. Therefore, the embedded soul, by his immemorial desire to avoid Krishna consciousness, causes his own bewilderment. Consequently, although he is constitutionally eternal, blissful, and cognizant, due to littleness of his existence, he forgets his constitutional position of service to the Lord and thus entrapped by nations. And under the spell of ignorance, the living entity claims that the Lord is responsible for his conditional existence. The Vedanta Sutras also confirm, Vaishanya naigrinye na sateksha tvat tatha hi darshayati. The Lord neither hates nor likes anyone, though he appears to. Srila Prabhupada ki Nadateka Sichit Papam Nacheva Supritam Vibhu Agyanena Vritam Gyanam Tena Muhyanti Jantavaha. Nor does the Supreme Lord assumes anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Buddhaya Srimati Bhakti Danuta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunya Bhavati Paschatya Desha Dharini Vancha Kaupataru Deshya Kripa Sindhu Deva Cha Patitanam Bhavane Dhyo Vaishnave Dhyo Namo Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ajanulandita Bujokana Kavadata Sankirtana Kapitaro Kamabhari Daksha Vishwambaro Dijavaro Udhaka Paro Vande Jagat Yokaro Karuna Vatavaro.
This verse is very important because it answers the most important question often misunderstood in different religious traditions. people have a hard time to understand why there is evil in this world. They somehow or other are bewildered in the sense that they think that if God is all good, why did He create evil? Either He is all good, or He is all potent. That's the dilemma which they are bewildered with. Some people say, yes, God is all good, but He is just weak. He just cannot get rid of these evil forces. He is trying his best, but it just doesn't work all the time. So they say God is not omnipotent, but He is good. You know, like there are sometimes good ruler, but He is a little weak. Everyone says, yes, He is good, but He is a little weak. What can we do? Other people say, no, God is omnipotent, but then how do you explain that there is evil in this world? This is so-called question of evil. It's a very bewildering question for most of the people. But Prabhupada puts it crystal clear in this little purport of this verse. And Krishna himself says, Nadatekasyachit papam nachayva sukritam vidu. Krishna doesn't want to be held responsible for our sins. He says, no, I have nothing to do with this. And he doesn't call himself Krishna in this verse, he says Vibhu. Vibhu means big. Vibhu means really big. Vibhu literally means all-pervading, the one who is everywhere. So, in the first line of this verse, Krishna firmly establishes that God is all-pervading and all-powerful. But He is not responsible for the actions because He gives us the freedom to act. Usually people when it comes for them to act, they are misusing their freedom very conveniently. But then when it comes to read the reactions of their actions, they say, this is God. That's Him. So what Krishna is doing here, Krishna is explaining this very difficult philosophy, because from one side, He is responsible for everything, right? If He is Vibhu, if He is God, He is responsible in the ultimate sense. Like even today, somebody approached me and said, you know, why did I do what I did if it was not for the Lord? And he's right. Krishna himself says, Mata jnanam apohanam, whatever. He says, from me comes knowledge, from me comes remembrance, and from me comes forgetfulness. If you take this position of the Lord, that everything is coming from the Lord, what can you do? Or somebody recently asked me a question. I was in Durban in Ratha Yatra, and somebody asked me, why did God create illusion? If He would not create illusion, we would not be illusion, right? You know, that's Him. He is responsible. And He himself admits this because He says, everything is coming from me. Mataksarvam pravartate, whatever. Everything is coming from me. I'm the only source of everything. So He created illusion. So he's responsible, right? Krishna says, no, I'm not. Sorry. Because we have to understand that both things are true. And it really depends how we look at it. From one side, it is true that everything is coming from Krishna. But it's not the complete understanding of reality. Because here he says, yes, everything is coming from me, but at the same time I'm not responsible for this. This philosophy of mutually contradictory qualities is very important. Achinti Veda Veda Tatva. We will never understand reality and we will never properly act in the reality we are placed in, unless we understand that yes, everything is coming from the Lord, and ultimately He is responsible for everything, and at the same time He is not responsible. So this is what Krishna is teaching us. In one place, when He wants to stress one side, He says, I am not responsible, you are responsible. In another side, when He stresses bhakti, which means unity with the Lord, He says, everything is coming from me. In other words, if we are to understand what he wants to tell us, he tells us that unless you are united with me in your consciousness, don't blame me. You can't blame me if you are united with me. Completely, totally. And we know, sometimes devotees, they blame the Lord. And Lord takes pride of being blamed by devotees. Bhishma Dev, he was really quarreling with the Lord. He was putting his arrows in the chest of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada said that for Krishna, this was much more pleasing than the hymns of the sages when they glorify the Lord. The arrows of Bhishma were better for him. So when we are not united with Krishna, we shouldn't hold him responsible. Srila Prabhupada explains it very beautifully. He says that, you know, we have the independent will, and because we have independent will, Krishna allows us to do whatever we like. Like, if we answer this question, why Krishna created illusion? I answered it this way. I thought, and this is a famous example from Chaitanya Bhagavata, or Chaitanya Charitamrita also, that sometimes a child cries. It really cries, really cries. It becomes really, 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 you know, nasty. And says, I want the moon. Now, can the child have the moon? No, he cannot have the moon. But the child really wants the moon. I want the moon, I want the moon. And he will not stop crying. And ultimately, mother says, okay, enough of it. And she puts a little mirror in his hand. And she said, my dear child, look, you have the moon. And he looks and he says, yes, I have the moon, ma, look, I have the moon. So in this way, this is illusion, isn't it? Who created the illusion? Mother created the illusion. But who was the cause of this illusion? The crazy desire of the child. So, in the same way, we cry, we say, yes, I want this, I want this, I want to rule the world. Ultimately, that's what we want. Ultimately, we want to become God. We come to God and say, my dear God, can I become you for a while? And he says, no, you cannot. We say, but I want. He says, no, I'm sorry. You cannot because you're Anu. You're small and I'm big. How you can become me? I'm big and you're small. We say, but I really want. He says, okay. Here is the illusion. And in this illusion, a little soul can imagine yourself really big. This is what we do. You know, in our imagination, we are not small, really. If we imagine ourselves, we are really big. Because we are so important. If we were not so important, why would we think about us all the time? This is what we do, right? About whom people usually think? About somebody who is important. About whom we usually think? About ourselves. Because we are so big, right? We are so big and we are so central. We want to force the world to circumambulate us. Everyone has to do pradakshina around us. The whole world, the whole universe. But we cannot. And therefore Krishna gives us this illusion that we are. An illusion is given by him because we wanted to have this illusion in the same way as mother gives this little mirror to the child. This is illusion, but you wanted this illusion. So you are responsible for this. You asked for this illusion. You wanted to be in the center. Although you can never be in the center. Only God can be in the center. So Srila Prabhupada from the very beginning, he explains that you are Anu and you cannot, you're so small. You're so insignificantly small. Really, I mean, so hopelessly small we are that we cannot ourselves even fulfill our desires. There is a nice story about the famous Sufi mystic or whatever, Nasreddin, the Muslim. Somebody asked him, can you tell us something about the perfection of God's will? He said, I will tell you everything about the perfection of God's will. From the time I remember myself, all this happens not as I desire, but as somebody else. This is the perfection of Lord's will.
Because
If it was my desire, at least sometimes it would happen like I want. But all the time it happens not as I want. And that means that there is supreme will of the Lord. Basically, you know, we're so small that even, you know, sometimes, of course, our desires are fulfilled. As Prabhupada explains that if we deserve, Krishna says, okay, let his desire, let his crazy desire be fulfilled, and, you know, what can we do? He wants it. But even this is not because of our desire, really, only because the Lord allows this desire to be fulfilled. And if we don't connect ourselves, our consciousness with the Lord, then we shouldn't blame the Lord. We should understand this is me who is responsible for this. Nobody else. This is my fault. This is not Krishna's fault. And usually we try to avoid this. But if we connect ourselves with the Lord in a real sense, and here, because Krishna explains the action of a jnani, basically what he explains, and it's very interesting how the progression goes in Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning, we're separated from the Lord because of our false ego. And false ego means, I'm the doer. I'm acting, right? And I want to enjoy the results of my action. This is the fundamental mistake of a living entity. I can do it, I'm really powerful, I have really, you know, muscles. And I can make it. And the Lord is laughing. Oh my goodness. Look at yourself in the mirror. You can do anything. Only if I allow this, it will happen. But we have this false ego. And false ego means I can do it and I have to enjoy the fruits of my actions. Everyone is really, especially when he's young, this false ego is very strong. The false ego has two sides. When he's young, he thinks, I'm the doer. I really make it. I will make it. Everyone else didn't make it, but I will make it. I will be the exception. I will conquer over this world. This world will really understand who I am. Yeah, but then in the course of time, the false ego changes its color. In the beginning, the false ego tells you, you're the hero. At the end, the false ego says, you're the victim. You tried, but they didn't allow you. You are good there, bad. You had all good intentions, you wanted this, you wanted that. But it's all the same false ego. It's all the place of our false ego. So when we do this, when we try to manifest this false ego really separates us from the Lord. This is what really is the impediment between us and the Lord. I can do it. And therefore, first teaching of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, no, my dear sir, you do it, but don't claim the results. Because the results are coming from me. You can try to do whatever you like, but ultimately, it doesn't depend on you alone. So many other factors are there. You know, like for example, to act, we have to breathe. Like, right? You know. And who gives us the air? It's the Lord. Can you do something if there is no air? You can't do anything. You can do. There are so many other factors which actually contribute to our success or failure. Our role is really small, but it's so big in our own eyes. So Krishna, in the beginning, he says, the step number one, don't claim the results. I'm the doer. You're just doing something. You're just really like a child in his, you know, like sometimes the daughter comes to mother and mother is cooking and daughter says, I also want to cook. And mother gives you a little piece of dough. She says, you cook. And daughter, I'm cooking. So in the same way, me, we say, I'm doing. And daughter says, yeah, you're doing. He says, if you want to understand better, the step number one, please understand that it's not only you who is doing this. I also have something to do with the results of your activities. Don't claim the proprietorship of the results of your activities, because they don't belong to you alone. I also contributed to this. And that's the first teaching of Krishna, because he wants to destroy the false ego. His first desire is to help us to destroy the false ego. And the false ego has this nature, I'm the doer, and I have to enjoy the fruits. And then, when the false ego is destroyed by this selfless action, when you act without claiming the results, then you can become the absorber. Basically, what is explained by Krishna in this particular chapter, that you should not be claiming the results of your action, you should just absorb. Absorb what is happening. Don't be involved emotionally into this life. Like in this body, so many things are happening. And, you know, we don't even know what is happening, how it is happening. When we eat food, we very proudly say, I am eating food. Right? I am eating food at home. But then we never say, I am digesting food. We always say, my stomach is digesting food. And when the stomach doesn't digest the food, what will you do? You can't do anything, you know. You can take some medicine, but, you know, ultimately it depends on the stomach and on Krishna in the form of the fire in the stomach. So what Krishna explains, when your false ego is destroyed, to a certain extent, by this practice of karma yoga, of selfless action, when you're not dependent, when you don't claim the results of your action, when you don't say, I'm the doer, then you come to this platform of absorbing. I'm the absorber. I'm neutral. And I'm looking, and I'm seeing that this is what is happening, and I'm just the absorber. Something is happening within my body, I'm absorbing it. Something is happening around me, I'm absorbing it. And the Lord says, I'm also absorber. I'm also the same. He says, I'm also just watching what people are doing. I'm just watching and watching and watching. And really sad about this, but, you know, I'm not responsible for this. But then, when he wants to bring us further, he says, yes, I'm responsible for everything. Because he brings us further to the platform when he wants us to understand that we are connected with him all the time. And when we understand that we are connected, then he says, yes. If you understand that you're connected with me, then I'm responsible. Then I will take the responsibility for your actions. When you really become devotee within your heart, and it means basically that you always feel connected with the Lord, never feel that you are separate, then the Lord says, yes. In this case, I'm taking responsibility. There is this beautiful story about one Ram Bhakta. He was a weaver, and he was making clothes. And he was really famous in his village that for being very honest. He was a great Ram Bhakta. And usually he would make some clothes and would bring them to the market. And the price for the clothes was really low. And people would ask him, you know, how much is your cloth? He said, you know, the threads, they costed that much, 1 rupee. And then my work costed 2 annas. So this is 1 rupee and 2 annas. If you want, take it. If you don't want, don't take it. And people liked him because he was genuine. He always had this this saying. Whatever he would say by the will of Lord Ram. By the will of Lord Ram. By the will of Lord Ram. So he was really connected in his heart, and he knew that everything is happening by the will of Lord Ram. So once he sold his clothes, in the market, and he went to the temple, and he was chanting, and he forgot himself, and it was dark. So it was really dark already, and there were some thieves. And thieves came, and they saw some men, and they needed somebody to help, and they told him, you go with us. And he said, okay, by the will of Lord Ram, I will go with you. So they went, and they started robbing, the thieves started robbing some house, and they took a lot of wealth, and they put it on him. And he was carrying this wealth.
He was saying, it's really funny. The Lord Rama is really playing a good joke with me today. So he was walking, and when he was walking, all of a sudden the police came, and all the thieves, they ran away, flee away, and only this guy was all the stolen goods caught red-handed. So police took him and put him in prison. And he was sitting there, and he was chanting Ram, 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 and he was saying, "Oh, really funny, what's happening with me today? Lord Rama is really in a joking mood today." So he was put in prison, and he was not really disturbed by what is happening. So next morning, people from this village came to the judge, and they said, "We know this man, he's honest. He's really, really honest. Your Majesty, please, be impartial, please look at this. He can never do this. He's a bhakta. He can never do this." So the judge decided to see for himself. He called this man and he said, "Please tell me what happened yesterday." He said, "Oh, Your Majesty, I will tell you. By the will of Lord Rama, I made some clothes. And by the will of Lord Rama, I sold the clothes. And I got some 2 anas or 3 anas of some profit. And then by the will of Lord Rama, I went to his temple. And in the temple, by the will of Lord Rama, I was chanting his holy names. And by the will of Lord Rama, I was so pleased. And then by the will of Lord Rama, some good people came to me and they told me that I should go with them. And I told them, okay, by the will of Lord Rama, I will go with you. And by the will of Lord Rama, these good people, they have stolen so much goods, and they put it on me. And by the will of Lord Rama, I was kidding. And by the will of Lord Rama, the police came. And then police, by the will of Lord Rama, caught me and put me in prison. And by the will of Lord Rama, I was sitting there very happily. Because Lord Rama was it. So, this is my story, Your Majesty. And His Majesty said, "By the will of Lord Rama, I do this you." He came back home and he said, "You know what happened? By the will of Lord Rama, they put me in prison. And then by the will of Lord Rama, they released me." This is what happened. So if we understand that everything is happening by the will of the Lord, then the Lord says, "Yes, then I'm responsible. I will take care of you." That's what exactly He says. "I will take care of you." And He says, "Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashati." Or Kaunteya Arjuna, tell very loudly, so that nobody would have any trace of doubt that I will take care of my bhaktas. But the little condition which has to be fulfilled before, you have to become His bhakta. Then He will take care of you. The problem is that we say, "I am His bhakta, and He should take care of me," but then when it comes to real world, we somehow rather forget about this. So He says very emphatically, "Yes, I am responsible for every action, and I am responsible for the provision of my bhaktas in each and every respect." Lord Chaitanya, when He came to Srivastakur's house, He said, "Srivas, can you tell me, you're not working, you're not employed, you're not going to Dubai to get some money for the maintenance of your family. How you maintain your family? You have a big family, you have to take care of the family. What's happening?" And Srivas tell, "I can tell you a secret," Srivas tells Lord Chaitanya. He says, "Usually when I need something, I go out in my yard and I say 1, 2, 3, and if it doesn't appear in front of me after 3 counts, then I will go to Ganga and I will drown myself. But usually it appears somehow or other." He says, "What can I do? I'm just your servant. And somehow or other, it all happens with me. You give me. And I'm just serving you. This is my concern. My duty is to serve you, and your duty is to maintain me. And if you don't maintain me, I don't care, because this is your duty. This is not my problem. This is your problem." And Lord Chaitanya said, you know, if there will be famine, and even Goddess Lakshmi will go begging, even if Goddess Lakshmi will become really poor and bereft of wealth, you will still have all the wealth which you need. I will provide for you, because you have this pure devotion. And therefore he says to Arjuna, please tell everyone, because Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that Krishna, why all of a sudden he says, Arjuna, you tell this. Before that he was telling himself this and that, you know, but now all of a sudden he says, Arjuna, now you tell everyone that I will take care of my bhaktis. They will not perish under any circumstances. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, this statement is so important for the Lord that he doesn't want it to be pronounced by himself. Because sometimes, you know, he doesn't say everything correctly, you know. Lord is not famous for being very truthful. That we know. You know, he's from Vrindavan. What can you expect? People in Vrindavan, they never say truth. They're from Mathura. So he's from Mathura. So the Lord knows. He says, Arjuna, I tell people may or may not believe me. If you tell, people don't believe you because you're kshatriya. So he says, you tell this. If you're my bhakta, if you're really my bhakta in heart, and bhakta means the condition of the heart, if you're really connected with me in the heart, then I will take care of you. You don't have to worry about anything else. But if you're not my bhakta, proportionately to the extent you're not depending on me internally, you're depending on your own skills or your own intelligence or your own, I don't know, good fortune, proportionately, I will not take care of you. This is your responsibility. This is your duty. So basically, here Krishna explains that if you want something, and then and if you only depend on you, then I may arrange the same way. You know, if you want to go to hell, no problem, you can go to hell. It's accessible, you can go. If you really want to go to hell, you can go to hell. But if you want to come to me, you can come to me. And that's different. Heaven and hell, it's the same. Believe it or not, people in other traditions would be shocked to hear this statement. But for real bhaktas, heaven and hell doesn't make any difference. Because both have this separated vision. Both imply that we are separated from the Lord. But the Lord says there is third possibility, which is neither heaven nor hell, which is neither sin nor piety. Here he says, I'm not responsible for your sins, I'm not responsible for your piety. You want to be pious, I'll make sure you're pious. You want to be sinful, okay, what can I do? You'll be sinful. But if you want to come to me, this is not piety and sin. Usually people say that, you know, piety is good, sin is bad. Krishna doesn't say this. Krishna says, piety is bad and sin is bad. It really depends how you look at it. It may be all bad, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, sabamana dharma. It's all speculation. You just mental concoction. You say, this is good, this is bad. This is not good, this is not bad. You know, there's no such distinction for the Lord. But it may also be all good. It depends. If you see that this is good because this is coming from the Lord, this is good because this is coming from the Lord, the Lord is sending this to you, this is good. The Lord is sending this to you, this is also good. There is this nice story in Chaitanya Bhagavatam and also Chaitanya Charitamrita about Pundarik Vidyanidhi. It's really very interestingly describes this mentality of the Lord, or vision of the Lord. I will tell this and then conclude my lecture. This is famous story about Odam Shashti festival in Jagannath Puri. During one Rathayatra festival, Pundarik Vidyanidhi decided to stay in Puri. All the devotees went back to Bengal. But Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he stayed back with Lord Chaitanya. And winter came. Odam Shashti is the
festival when they put the warm clothes, some nice woolen clothes on Lord Jagannath. It's interesting that today I was reading this pastime and Odin means cloth. And in Russian, a cloth is called одежда. The same kind of word is there. So when the winter comes, they put new clothes on Lord Jagannath, and this is the whole festival, because this is, you know, people treat the Lord in a very personal way. They put a new clothes, very warm clothes, so this is Bhava, all the devotees of the Lord. So Pundarik Vidyaniti was there, he came with Swarup Damodar to the temple of Lord Jagannath, and he saw the clothes, and he saw that the clothes were just the new clothes, which were just bought from the merchants, and the cloth was with the starch. And Pundarik Vidyaniti became really disgusted, and he said, what is this? What kind of puja is there? Starch is considered to be contaminated. You can't put it on the Lord. It is said very clearly in the Shastras, this is nishedet, this is not good, you cannot do this. And Swarup Damodar said, no, this, sir, please understand, this is the tradition here. And they just follow the tradition. And they don't have any bad intentions. And the Lord likes it. For God, there is nothing dirty. How you can say that this is dirty? You cannot say that this is dirty. So God accepts bath. God accepts this clothes because it's given to him with love. But Pundarik Vidyaniti was not convinced. He said, this is false logic. Yes, you're right. Nothing is dirty for the Lord. The Lord can accept everything. But for us, there is distinction. And in Priti Shastras, in the Shastras, it is said that you cannot give starch clothes because starch clothes is contaminated. You have to wash it first, then only give an offer to the God. So you can do this. And he criticized all the pujaris and he was really upset about this. And then he came back to his residence and he slept. And when he slept, Jagannath and Baladev came to him. And they were laughing. And they were really, you know, and they were rolling their eyes. The big eyes, and they were laughing and laughing and laughing. And they came to him and they started slapping. And he's saying, you're nonsense. You're nonsense. And at the same time, they were laughing. What did you do? How can you say this, that my servants are doing something wrong? And they were slapping and slapping and slapping, and then they said to him, you know, if nothing is good for me, and nothing is bad for me, then how you can say that something is good and something is bad for my servants? They're on the same level as me. They're serving me with love, and I accept their love, whatever they tell me, whatever they will give me. I accept this. And they were slapping and slapping and slapping. And Pundarik Vidyaniti was so happy. He was getting his slaps. And he was saying, the Lord is really merciful to me. He came to me to teach this lesson. Then, if you are really on the transcendental level, there is nothing good or nothing bad for you. Unless you are on the transcendental level, yes, we have to have the distinction. This is good, this is bad. This is pav, this is punya. We have to be very strict. We should not misuse this philosophy. But at the same time, we have to really clearly understand that there is the third alternative. The third alternative is bhakti. When you're united with the Lord, with love, that nothing is good and nothing is bad for you. Everything is good or everything is bad, it depends how you look at it. So, basically, this is... And yeah, when Pundarik Vidyaniti woke up, Swarup Damodar came to him and he saw that his cheeks were swollen. Really bad. And he asked him, what happened? Why your cheeks are so small? The Lord is really merciful. He slapped me so nicely. This is the vision of a bhakta. And something bad is happening to us. We should say, the Lord is really merciful to me. He slapped me so nicely. Because he says, I'm taking care of my bhaktas. And he will take care of your bhaktas. There is nothing really bad. Nothing bad can happen with a bhakta if he is a bhakta. If he is really connected with Krishna in the eternal plane and he knows that he is as a soul always connected with the world. If he removed the obstacle of false ego from his consciousness, if he doesn't separate himself from the Lord by this stupid, crazy pride that I'm the doer and I'm entitled to enjoy the fruits of my action, if whatever he does in the mood of the service. I'm doing it as a service for you. This is my offering. Or rather, my heart is my offering to you. I am giving you my heart, and whatever I do is automatically yours, because my heart is yours. Whatever I did, my consciousness is given to the Lord completely, without any reservations. If I gave the consciousness back to the Lord and don't want to claim it my own, then whatever I do will be His. And He will be responsible. And He will take the full responsibility. And whatever will happen with you will be for your eternal benefit. So this is what it is. In this world, we're always faced with this problem of evil and good. But from the highest point of view, there is no evil and there is no good. There is only love of God or hatred of God. And when we're hating God, when we are turned away from God, then we will always be in this difficult world, when we will try to avoid something and try to obtain something, and we will always be in anxiety about this. But if we transcend this by the means of the process of bhakti yoga, then nothing will be bad or good for us. And the evil will disappear. It will disappear first from our heart, and then it will disappear from our perception of this material world. So this is the sama drishti about which Krishna is teaching in the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He says that the knowledge means you don't identify yourself as the body. But in the normal condition, because we identify with the body, with this identification, this understanding of good and bad comes to us. And our knowledge is covered in this way. And Muhyanti, we are bewildered. We are not really understanding who we are. But by the real process of connecting our consciousness with Krishna, by chanting His holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By this process we will be able to transcend this Muhyanti, this moh, this illusion, this bewilderment which is there, and understand that I am the eternal spirit soul, eternally connected with the Lord, and not connected with this rotten matter. Thank you very much. Yeah, I will tell you about Moscow, because this is also somewhat connected with the topic of our lecture. Last year, you remember perhaps, I came 1 year back in April of last year, and I told you the very difficult and dramatic story how devotees in Moscow had a temple, and how the temple was demolished by the government because the government wanted to redevelop this area. And the government tricked us, the government gave us the land in exchange and then took it back. But ultimately, we tricked the government. Because we said, this time we're not leaving this land, you have to give us something. You can't just put us out on the streets, and we were negotiating, and we were fighting, and we were, you know, doing all kinds of different things with the government. And ultimately, as a result of all our endeavors, Krishna, through the government, gave us the land which is twice as big than the previous one. It's funny, because this is really how Krishna works. Prabhupada once in Germany There was a similar story in Germany. There was a very heavy attack on Hare Krishna movement in the beginning, and demons, they wanted to destroy the whole movement, and they really worked hard. They took back the temple which was there. It was a very difficult time, and Prabhupada knew about this, about the struggle. But as a result of this struggle, the movement doubled in Germany. Because devotees, they became so determined, they became so strong, and the movement really increased 2 times. And Prabhupada, when he heard about this, and they distributed twice as many books as possible, and Prabhupada said, yes, this is how Krishna works. Demons say, let it be finished. And Krishna say, let it be doubled. So, the same formula worked in our case. Some of our enemies said, let it be finished. And we said, no, let it be doubled. So we got twice as big land as possible from the government. And it's situated on the bank of the river, on a high bank, very beautiful place. And there was an interesting story also. Usually, it's very difficult to approve the design in a planning committee. Especially when design is somewhat exotic, you know, and we want to build proper temple, beautiful Indian style, traditional temple. We created this design. And usually you have to go at least 10 times to the planning committee. And they always find fault. They say, this is good, this is not good, this is not, it's not fitting to the background, this is bad, this should change. In our case, they approved our design from the first hearing. Somehow or other, they said, let there be beautiful Hare Krishna temple in Moscow. And really, this is Krishna. This is how Krishna works. He puts us in difficulties. He puts the devotees in difficulties. Just to test their determination. And if determination is there, there is no difficulties which we cannot overcome. Krishna gives us the strength, Krishna gives us intelligence, and ultimately Krishna helps. And then he says, as he says in the case of Arjuna, Arjuna, I already achieved this victory, but you please do it and take the credit for yourself. Nimitta Matram Bhava Savyasachi. You do something, you know, and the credit is yours. Krishna doesn't want credit. He has all the fame, but he wants to keep behind the scene. So he says, if you just try to do something, and then, you know, you will be glorious. So this is how Krishna consciousness movement works. Prabhupada came and he said, you know, I'm doing it, I'm servant of Krishna. Krishna is doing everything. But Krishna says, no, this is my bhaktan, my devotee. Let all the credit goes to him. And in the same way, this drama with Moscow temple, we're trying our best, and Krishna is helping. So now, by the end of the year, we will get the permission to build, because there is a lot of formalities. And hopefully with your prayers, and your support, and your help, we will be able to build this beautiful temple. First, Krishna temple in the Eastern Europe. First Krishna temple in Russia. So, and I'm sure that this is your victory. I came and told you, so many people wrote to me, Srivalabha Prabhu helped very much, and so many other devotees helped and prayed. Like now in Kazakhstan, there is a difficult situation, but I'm sure one way or another it will be resolved. Krishna always helps the devotees to become winners. So this is your victory, and I congratulate you with your victory in Moscow.
Can you say how many devotees are there in Moscow? We know that yearly so many thousands go to Mayapur.
Yeah, you can see majority of the devotees are from Russia. Russian yatra outnumbers, you know, practically all the yatras besides, of course, Indian yatra. But like in Moscow, we are number 3 in the book distribution scores. We are number 1st after Mayapur and Bombay, maybe Delhi. So in the Western world, we distribute more. we have around, you know, more than 1,000 devotees in Moscow, and we have tens of thousands devotees in Russia. Big. So when we have big festivals, thousands. Actually, our festival in September, we have our Black Sea Festival on the seashore. Usually 3,000-4,000 people comes, and it's bigger than Mayapur Festival. This is, you know, the one of the biggest gathering of devotees in ISKCON. So it's a lot of people, and new people are coming all the time. Last year we had Janmashtami Festival, and we had 10,000 people coming for our Janmashtami Festival. And out of this 10,000, I don't know, maybe 1,000 was Indian and 9,000 was Russian. So this is what is going on by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his sincere followers and Lord Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.